Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast.
Well, hello, my beautiful people, my beautiful spiritual hustlers, my gorgeous light worker women of the new earth fucking rising. Are you ready to talk about money today in the most highest frequency, most expert understanding that I have brought to you guys on the podcast so far? I mean, we talk about money a lot here in a lot of different ways, but I have yet to have somebody who actually has a true background in finance. Now, fun fact, my dad was an accountant and a financial advisor. My husband is a financial advisor. My brother is a financial advisor. And there has been something about that industry. It's so weird that I'm surrounded by that world and that conversation. And at the same time, I have kind of my own aversion to it. Like, it's not inspiring and exciting for me to talk about like stocks, bonds, futures, investments, assets. I mean, I obviously love making money and building a business as an asset, but a lot of it's traditionally just been a bit over my head. And I came across this woman who is on my podcast today, who is got a really interesting podcast name. I'm the Spiritual Hustler. She is the Spiritual Investor. Elizabeth Ralph is a high-level wealth strategist and former energy trader who connects the energy of money, okay, because money is really an energy, with real finance and investing. I mean, talk about bringing the 5D into the 3D in a way that no one really else is doing. She is a complete master at making your money make you more money. And as you know, on this podcast, if you're new, hi, I'm Jessica Zweig, your host. If you're not new, welcome back. You guys, I'm in a mood today. I'm in a freaking amazing mood because I'm here with you guys getting to have this conversation. We talk about the spiritual side of being a woman, all of the quantum magic, light worker, divine, extraterrestrial, multidimensional, magical tools and consciousness that we get to play with here on planet Earth. And we also get to talk about the hustle, but the new hustle, really embodying a hustle vibration from love, from impact, from service, from trust, from allowance, so that we can move through the world fully embodied in our magic and our gifts and our power without burning out. And at the end of the day, all of us want to grow financially. We probably equate our biggest stressors in life to money. And I love Elizabeth Ralph for so many reasons. But her practicality, her advice today on how to use your money to make more money is something that you're going to really want to pay attention to, whether this is a topic that you love and you're already in the investing game, or this is something that has traditionally scared you or freaked you out or has not been of interest to you. There's a real mastery that Elizabeth Ralph is bringing to her community and to communities like mine that no one else is offering. And you're going to hear her story today. You're going to hear all about her business today, her transformation on a personal and professional level, and really give you the codes on the new paradigm of effortless money and why women are at the epicenter of that uprising and how to hold a whole new capacity for holding wealth. Because at the end of the day, we can do all of the strategies and make all of the beautiful business models and invest in all the right stocks. But it comes down to your frequency, your energy, the inner work of your own allowance and receiving inside of your body, mind, and spirit that really allows you to expand with abundance. And that is truer than anything I have ever learned. And I love to keep learning from women like Elizabeth Ralph. So without further ado, here's my incredible conversation between the spiritual hustler and the spiritual investor. Let's go. Elizabeth Ralph, you are amazing in the flesh. Thank you for being here on my show. Welcome to the Spiritual Hustle Podcast.
It's like I knew this already. Didn't you know this already?
I did. You know, it's true. Like, I get a lot of pitches, if you will, for my show, and I honor them, and I look at every one of them, and not everyone is, like, content-wise, the right fit, but it's for me, it's about frequency.
Yes.
And I got an email from you and your team, and I took like a 3-second glance, and it was a holy yes. Instant, I was like, yes, I want her on my show to bring her codes to my community, truly. So I want to ask you the first question I ask all my guests, which is, what are you currently spiritually hustling for?
I bring power into certain areas of my life. And so recently, what I have sort of run into myself is finding that I categorize, like I'll have one area that's just full flow and power, and then I'll have another area and it's like, oh my God, you know, why is that not working over here or something? I think what I'm bringing into it is the oneness. Mm. And so the categories and the labels only come from me. I realize that I'm actually choosing to not show up in those areas the way that I show up in the places that I'm powerful. And it has zero to do with my experience or knowledge or my background even. For example, the way that I am in flow with money, the way that I teach money. Money is neutral to me. It's ones and zeros, and we can get into that.
We're gonna.
You know, then I look at relationships, you know, specifically intimate relationships, and I think, why does it feel so different? It's all just energy, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's probably, I don't know if that answers that properly, but yes. The more I break down the categories and the labels, the more I see that I just get to show up as I'm showing up. It's almost like I didn't know that I needed to give myself permission. I didn't need to learn anything new. I just needed to go. You can just be in the moment over there too, Elizabeth.
Yeah, it's a remembering.
It's a remembering.
Yeah.
Thank you for coining it that way. Yes, that's exactly it. Yes.
Yeah. You have been on, I think, a beautiful trajectory of remembering. You were a trader, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
My husband was a trader.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for 20 years. And you are now the spiritual investor, which I just freaking love. It's like spiritual hustler. I had to get the spiritual investor podcast. But you work in that like very 3D corporate world. And I want to kind of go back before we go forward into that pivot point of what was the catalyst that broke you free out of that space to be doing what you're doing. Was it a series of moments or was it a singular moment?
It was a knowing, which I'm sure that your audience can relate to this, because I think people who are connected to you, like we all have our deep knowings, right? And then I think that sometimes it can even just be one thing and we're just trying to figure out, how do I translate this into the world? How do I bring it down? And for me, you know, it was a great job. So I was trading, you know, electricity and oil and natural gas. And you know, in a job like that, you kind of work your way up and, you know, then you start to feel like, okay, well, you know, I've done all this to get to this level. Why would I ever consider leaving this, you know? And I liked it. It was challenging. And of course I worked with a bunch of men and I loved all them and we traveled and, oh my God, the things I hear about their wives and all
sure.
of this and the questions I got, especially given my situation. but I kept hearing this. I had this knowingness that like every time I stepped into that elevator and then I went up to the fifth floor and then I showed that security badge, there was a little part of me that was dying.
Mm.
And it just kept coming up and coming up. And it was kind of like, I felt like it was kind of like you're sort of like, I don't know, chipping ice off of a glacier. And then one day I saw the original guy who had hired me. He wasn't my boss anymore. And he was a nice guy. And, you know, I saw him and he got up from his computer and he walked over to the printer. And it was like a slow motion moment, like a movie that had slowed down. And I knew that I was, and he looked really old. And he was kind of stooped over. He just didn't look happy. He looked kind of sad. And I knew that I was watching like a version of me in the future if I didn't do something.
I knew you were going to say that.
I pushed my chair back and I got up. And this was in San Diego. And I was just walking down Market Street and I was like, okay, this is it. This is it. And pretty soon after that, you know, I was in Australia and I just made the decision and I was like, I'm just going to put a financial plan together and buy my way out of this because I didn't want to go down to like, you know, leaving and then having no income.
Right. Of course.
And that's what I did. So I covered my cost of living and I finished out my retirement by 39.
Wow.
And those were my boxes to check, cover my cost of living and finish my retirement. And I was like, I don't care if this makes sense to anybody else. And that's why I tell people like choose your own financial freedom. Really, it's what's that point of ease for you? What's that point of ease where you can actually go to the next level? And don't let anyone tell you different.
All right, my friends, if you are listening to this podcast, I know that you know that the Matrix is bullshit. And yet it has gotten its hooks into so many of us, looping us into stress and scarcity and survival. And I can say this because I speak from deep experience. But here's the truth. Yourselves, your body, your systems, your life was built for brilliance, not burnout and fear. It is time, sister, to deprogram the deep programs that have been running your life for most of your life. And Microflow microdose mushrooms is your key. Now, these are high vibe, organic, Reiki infused blends designed to support your nervous system, your menstrual cycle, your psyche, and your physical body in breaking free from it all. Microflow isn't just a magic mushroom microdosing company. Microflow is different. It is a soul technology. It's founded by Christy Nault as the only cycle syncing microdose protocol made for women to balance divine masculine and divine feminine energy on the market. The Exude blend activates your radiance, heart opening, bold expression, and full aliveness. I love to take Exude during my follicular and ovulation phases of my cycle. And then there's Surrender, which softens your system into deep rest, healing, and fertile reconnection. And I love to take Surrender during my luteal and menstrual phases. Now, if you want to tap into even higher states of consciousness, pick up a bottle of Theta with Egyptian Blue Lotus, which Christy says, and I've experienced this personally working with it, is a portal not into 5D realms, but 7D realms. When you use it in ceremony, channeling, ecstatic dance, or breath work, trust me, you are going to have an unforgettable life-changing activation. And when you purchase Theta, you're going to get Christy's full 4-hour guided breath work experience for free. Microflow isn't about escaping. It's about alchemizing your life, your business, your relationships, your health, your vitality into more freedom. I would not have the life that I have, the business that I have, the team that I have, the body that I have, the marriage that I have, and the joy that I have if it wasn't for using Microflow consistently every single week of my life for the last 3 years. So visit microflowhealing.com now and use code Jessica10 at checkout for $10 off your order. Visit microflowhealing.com today to pick up your blends and do not miss Christy's free 2.5-hour microdosing masterclass. Your sovereignty begins now.
And, at that time, I was married and my wife was on board. And so we just did it and we bought rental properties and invested in the market. And then we left and bought a horse ranch. And I wasn't really going to do much of anything except for write. And then someone asked me to help them with their money. And I'm like, no, I don't do that.
I don't do that anymore.
Right. And then, of course, this was at a kid's birthday party. And then by the end of it, I said yes. And 6 months later, so I did, I helped her. And then 6 months later, I got a letter in the mail, and it was photographs of, she had bought a cabin in Big Bear. And she's like, you've changed my life. My children are now going to grow up in this property, and it's just a dream, and I would have never done this. And
wow,
like, okay, universe, I hear you. And so it just went from there, you know, and that was 7 years ago.
Wow. Okay. I want to dig into these last 7 years with you and really get into your approach and your style and philosophy, both mechanically and energetically in the world of investing and how you work with money. But I know you mentioned horses. And that
was a big shift.
Yes, clearly. So what, I love, do you know that my power animal is a horse?
Really?
Uh-huh. I went to Santa Fe when I was 40 by myself, and I Googled a shaman on the internet, which always sounds like a great start, but
yeah.
she worked out, life-changing session. No medicine, no psychedelics. She just did drumming, and we journeyed. And the night before, I called her, we had a chat in the days leading up to the session to prepare. And the only assignment she gave me was to pay attention to animals. So I show up in Santa Fe, I was at this beautiful hotel property, and I see animals everywhere. I'm like, I'm seeing turtles, I'm seeing lizards, I'm seeing, you know, raccoons and dogs, like everywhere. And the night before my session with her, I had the most lucid dream I've ever had in my entire life. And it was, I was in a big ballroom, and this black stallion horse starts running through it, charging at me. I thought it was going to run me over. I felt like I was going to die in this dream. And instead of it running me over, it stopped like this close to my face. And I was filled with this infinite love. Like I knew this horse, and this horse was mine. And I woke up and I told her that in the session the next day. And when we did this drumming circle thing, it was one big journey in visualization with a horse. And she told me that day that the horse is my power animal. And I don't ride them. I'm not like, you know, equestrian in any way, to be honest, but I have such a deep connection to that animal. So when I read that about you and your story, I was just affirmed that I needed to talk to you for many reasons. And there are codes here beyond just what I see on, like, say, Instagram. So tell me about how horses were a catalyst for you.
Well, first of all, as soon as you told me about your journey with horses, I was wondering what color. You know, that's fascinating. It was black. Yeah. During that time, you know, after, you know, I left the corporate job, we actually went camping with a friend. We were invited. It was a 4th of July thing. And I had already, you know, been into horses a little bit. And my ex-wife was a professional racehorse jockey.
Oh, wow.
So, I knew, but we lived in the city at that time. So I knew, I kind of had this feeling we were going to bend our way back into it. And I pulled up and, you know, everyone was at the campsite. And I don't know why, I can't even remember why I was like driving there on my own. And then so I was meeting people there, and I drive up and I park, and then there's this white horse, and he is in like a camp, like a corral. They're like very small. And I look at him, and he looks at me, and it's almost like I couldn't walk by him. You know, I just stopped, and I was just really locked in with this horse. His name's Durango. I did ride him because I'd ridden horses a little bit as a kid. I mean, I was mainly addicted. I was addicted to dirt bikes as a child.
Are you? Really, really?
So I did ride him, and then I ended up leaving, and we ended up hiring one of the guys from the campsite to remodel our rentals. So one day I went there, and this guy, and he's this big Belgian guy, and, you know, he's crying. I'm like, what's wrong, George? You know, why are you crying? And he's like, I have to sell Durango because I just don't have the money. You know, a lot of times people don't have the money for boarding, and horses are, you know, they can be quite expensive, right? And I'm like, I'll buy him. Wow. And he's like, what? So then we're still living in the city. And my wife comes home, and I'm like, I think we should buy Durango. And she's like, She was very trusting of my, I don't know, you have these roles, right? And so she made more of the micro decisions and I made more of the like big pendulum decisions. Yeah, so she totally. Was like, okay. And that was a turning point because after that, it was like that Durango was the first domino into, oh no, we're going to sell this property and we're going to buy a property, a horse ranch. And then that became the most beautiful journey really between she and I, because we'd never been put in an environment where we just got up in the morning and just put on scrubby clothes and learned how to build fencing. And we had a beautiful pool and a hot tub. And so at night we would just fall into the hot tub and just sit there and just look at the stars. And I know it's like you can't create that life because you don't know what those moments are going to look like. You just kind of have to take the, well, holy shit, I think we're buying a horse and our backyard, they're not going to, city of San Diego is not going to allow us to put him in the backyard.
Right.
What's the next step? It's like, it's almost like there's an underlying guide. It's kind of the same thing as a corporate, right? So there was an underlying guiding, but I think you have to have it from a place of non-judgment.
Totally. To trust.
Yes. It has to be like a, like you said, surrendering, right?
Yeah.
To it. And there has to be a willingness to go back to it, even when your external circumstances are kind of screaming sometimes.
Definitely.
You know, because our house sold in the city in 2 weeks and we were like, oh, where are we moving?
Wow.
So then we lived in our Airstream for 4 weeks.
Wow.
You know, no, 4 months actually.
4 months.
Which is fine, but.
Where was the horse?
Well, we boarded him.
Got it.
Yeah, and it was funny because we parked the Airstream at the place where we boarded, and I'm like, I would sit there at night, and I'd say, look at my life now versus where I was like flying around everywhere, drinking, you know, 1,000 bottle bottles of wine, like, you know, just a few months ago. And I love the disparity, though.
Yeah, love it,
like,
too.
How fun, right?
Totally.
Because I didn't want to be doing that. I remember sitting sometimes at those dinners and going, I appreciate this, but I don't want to be here.
Wow.
And I really empathize. And I want to encourage people, if you're sitting there and you're going, I don't want to be here, like, it doesn't mean you're not grateful.
Powerful.
Yeah.
True. It just means you're not aligned.
Yeah. And it's okay that we change.
Absolutely. We're meant to change.
Yeah, I think sometimes we get so rooted in our value system.
And our identities.
Yes, that it's almost like, where's that? It's like a blurred line. Our value system, our identity. It's like, where is that? And I think that's one of the big things for me is I'm throwing out all categories, all lines, all labels. That's been a big shift in the last year.
So this decision to follow your alignment and somewhat redesign your life, catalyzed by this beautiful, I think animals are such guides.
Oh, I still have Durango.
You do?
Yes. Even before I came here, I went out and I spent time with him.
Oh, how old is he now?
He's 20.
God, horses are so ancient, man.
And he really looks at you.
I'm sure.
Like my other horse, like, I mean, he's wonderful too, but like, you know, he's got his own agenda.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. They do. They have such distinct personalities. So you have been on this path to really help women step into their wealth consciousness and wealth reality. And you made a comment earlier, and I want to dig into it. I loved it. You said, money is a neutral energy, ones and zeros, and I can work with that. So let's just start there, because I think, you know, I don't think I know. I used to be very attached to projecting my own frequency onto money and had a story about it and was in a lot of scarcity. And, you know, I really hope with this podcast and my message at large that like it's a one big invitation to step into abundance as our birthright, and that we can be the co-creators of a limitless abundant life. But money is a neutral energy. I firmly have learned that and I believe that. But I want to hear from you, how have you always felt that way about money? How can we make the neutrality of money work in our favor?
I actually always felt that way about money. Yeah. You know, as I said earlier, like my work is really in the other categories. We all have to do our work somewhere, I feel like. I've never really been able to figure out why people just don't connect their energy to money because that's really how it works. Like, you know, you mentioned like projecting your frequency. The frequency that we're projecting is equal to the amount that we're calling in. And it's just going to continue to repeat itself and repeat itself. And then the external circumstances are trying to reflect back to you the things that a lot of times are broken that, you know, it wants you to shift. And that's the game.
It's the game.
That's how you shift your frequency. But we do things in reverse. We get energetically entangled into the circumstances to the point where all we can do is reproject, if you will, our same frequency over and over. And sometimes it does look a bit like an EKG,
yeah,
where you're going to bring more money in and then you're like, oh my gosh, right?
Right.
Well, we're bouncing among frequencies, right? Because everything is dynamic. There's nothing static. Even neutrality is dynamic, you know? And I think that people think that neutrality is supposed to be a feeling or something. Neutrality is the void.
Yes.
And so you can be in money neutrality and have no money and have your rent to pay, or you can be in money neutrality and be, you just got $1 million in your account. Like money neutrality feels like in those moments when, well, I'll just say how I can get there. Like if I can, in meditation, or I have like some songs that I listen to, like if I want to just like really ground in, like before I came here in the hotel, I listened to a specific song and it's like a power that you feel here. I feel it as a drawing in. And then the question becomes, how do you feel that when you're out in the world? Well, the way that I feel it is that, like, just let's use right now as an example. There's nothing else that exists in the world. Like, literally, the world could blow up around us. I'm just here. Well, you feel that.
Definitely.
That's money neutrality. That's it's the same thing as connection. It's just we're calling it different terms, right? And so it's like the information and the power is coming here out rather than me going out here looking for all these things and then reacting to it. So money neutrality is just you're not in your reaction so much.
So good.
You're in your source.
You're in your source. So good. So good. Okay, Elizabeth, let's... Beautiful segue. You could have called yourself, your brand, a lot of things. I mean, you are an investor by trade. You could have called yourself the empowered investor, the magical investor, the abundance investor, but you called yourself the spiritual investor. Were you always spiritual?
Part of the whole corporate journey. Well, I started, you know, doing yoga in my 20s.
Got it.
You know, things like that. But they hired this guy on the trading floor and he's from India. And I thought, God, he's so different. Like, I really didn't know what to think about it. And we were standing in line for, you know, they feed you a lot of food in corporate world because they don't want you to leave, right?
They don't.
So we're standing in line, like it's the burrito line or whatever. And he happened to be in front of me and he said something and I just started laughing. And then we started talking and I realized he and I had the same sense of humor. And so my sense of humor really is actually born from the South, really. You know, I think people in the South, that's one of the things, like people are really funny here, you know, here in California don't talk as much either.
It's true. Yeah.
So, and here he was like, you know, he grew up in India, like very poor, like him and his whole family lived in this tiny, they slept on the floor, this tiny little apartment. Everything was geared towards what they needed to send him to school. Like every penny went towards that. And then of course he got to the US and da, da, da. So anyways, we became fast friends and he just took me under his wing and he started bringing me all these books like Aurobindo and Ramana Maharshi and all of these like old ancient like yellow smells like sage texts. And I was like, what am I reading? Oh my God. And it felt like here was finance on one side. Here was, you know, these teachings, which I was like, you know, what am I doing here? And then without really realizing it, they started to come together. And then my wife and I at the time decided that we were going to buy a vacation rental, but there really were no vacation rentals. There were only, it was like you had to explain what VRBO was, and Airbnb didn't even exist at the time. There were only three in San Diego. And we talked about it and we're like, yeah, this new concept, you know? And we decided, well, I don't know, screw it. Like, if it doesn't work, we'll just rent it full time. But I remember I was leaving for work one day and I said to her, okay, if we do this, I want to actually give away part of the proceeds to horse rescues. She's like, great, we'll do that. So that, I didn't even realize it at the time, because a lot of times you don't realize what you're doing until you look back.
Sure.
And then we ended up doing that. And then Airbnb called us and then they said, hey, you know, can we come take photos? We'll do it for free. They came over, they took professional shots. Of course, we were the number one on there for like, we were making boatloads of money on this because nobody had anything else like this. And we were giving so much to horse rescues. And then we were getting people from all over the world that wanted to stay here. And then we would meet them for wine and all that. We met all these people. Then I kid you not, this is where if you just go with something, the universe takes it. Because then HGTV contacted us and they're like, can we showcase your house on, you know, our TV show? And we're like, okay. So then a film crew comes in. Anyways, it was just like, you can't make this shit up.
No.
You know? And so the spirituality and the business, they were merged.
Yeah.
When I was in that. And then so the whole spiritual investor brand, when I started helping people with money, I was already incorporating meditation and practices and stuff in there. Not really realizing I was even doing it. I'm just like, really all I've ever done, Jessica, is just teach people what worked for me.
Right.
And it was a friend of mine, actually, that was like, you know, you keep using this term spiritual investor. Why isn't that just the whole brand? And I'm like, God, genius. You're right.
Genius.
When she said it, it was like, there was no question anymore. You've had that, right?
Yeah,
probably
totally.
Something happened with you, right? It's perfect.
That's my publicist, to be honest, at the time when I was launching the light work.
Yeah.
On one of my very, I was about to sell my business. I knew I was going to go and rebrand my life and launch this platform and have this book come out. And my podcast was called the Simply Be podcast for 4 years because it was the Simply Be agency. And Tanya, shout out to Tanya. She just said to me once on a discovery call, we were just onboarding. She's like, you're like the spiritual hustler, Jessica. And the second she said that, mm-hmm. I was like, that is me.
It is.
I that's the name of my show. And it's become, you know, its own movement. It's become its own conversation. And it's just, it drops in. And sometimes it takes someone else to reflect it to you.
Yes.
I feel like ideas exist in the field and they belong to you, but they might drop in and channel through someone else.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe we need to hear it.
Yes, we need to be reflected.
Yes.
And that's the activation.
Yes.
So you took that and you ran with it. And I love what you said about, I just teach people what's worked for me.
Yeah. I mean, people are always asking me like, what are the best money books and things like that? And I'm like, I really don't read them. I mean, there's a part of me that's like, well, maybe I should. And then, but I'm like, but I don't put shoulds on myself.
Yeah.
I will read them, you know, if I get into like an airport or something, but I really don't, because all this stuff is actually quite simple. And I think that actually sometimes even the financial world can make it so complex.
Totally.
You know, I don't think there's a lot of fluff to put on it. If you're really willing to go down the core of what's preventing you from, as we said, like really expressing and being that alternate frequency, you can't even say higher.
Totally. So I'm going to admit something to you. I'm a woman in abundance and I know how to make money. I also know how to spend money. And I find the financial world very intimidating. I do. My husband's in it. My dad's in it. My brother's in it. I'm surrounded by it, but I'm also intimidated. And because I'm intimidated, I've like decided I'm not interested because it's over my head. And I think a lot of, I don't want a blanket statement, but a lot of women, I think, have that fear around like investing and understanding the market and really being like empowered within it. And you blend like energetics and intuition into how you invest. So can you talk to me about your process, like how you support your clients? Asking for a friend.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. I'm so glad you brought this up because women feel so outside of the, as soon as you even say the word finance, right? It's like, and a lot of people, they avoid investing because they're like, I don't like stocks. That's not me. I don't like numbers. You know, the biggest reason that I hear is that people say, I don't know how. And so then that, you know, that leaves them being stuck. You know, I think if you picture yourself, like, let's say that, you know, you're sitting at a dinner table and let's say you're with all people that you just love and, you know, buzzy and comfortable, and they're starting to talk about businesses, right? So you're interested in their businesses. And if you have a question, then you'll say, oh, tell me more about that. Or maybe you'll put together something that someone else over here said, but you don't sit there and go, well, I don't understand, right?
Right.
Well, that's all stocks are, is you're just buying into a business. And so when I think that when people stop looking at stocks as this financial instrument that's in a black box, which I get it because the financial industry has packaged that because they really did want people to have to pay them,
right,
to get the information. But now, of course, you know, the doors are blown open, but we still have this sort of latency thing going on with people thinking that, you know, it's outside of their realm. I think if people just think about it, like, I am buying into really some of these are the most powerful businesses in the world. I'm literally buying a piece of a business. It doesn't mean anything about me. I, as a businesswoman, understand the businesses have to look like this and go up and down and all of that, or else it's not actually healthy. I mean, it's like, you know, you're looking for the trend line. You're not looking for something to be exact every day.
Hey, sister, we have got to talk about one of the most powerful tools in my spiritual toolkit right now, okay? And that is Lotus Way. These are flower essences, liquid infusions of wildflowers that hold the energetic imprint of the flower's life force. And when I say that they instantly shift your state, I mean it. I've been using their elixirs, aura sprays, and essential oils every single day for over a year, and my entire nervous system has recalibrated. I am more grounded, more confident, more radiant, more effortless in magnetizing abundance with so much ease and feminine vibration. Now, you can go ahead and take their flower quiz, which is so much fun, at lotusway.com/JessicaZ and discover exactly what your system is calling for. My current faves right now, because I've used so many of them, but I'm really loving Divine Within for spiritual activation and connection to higher realms. Yep. Inner Peace to soften my edges, help with anxiety, and supports my sleep, and Expansive Presence, which has been a game changer for my confidence. Go to lotusway.com/JessicaZ or use code JessicaZ at checkout for 10% off. It's time to elevate your frequency, align with your true power, and let the flowers do their thing. Trust, sister, you're going to feel like the most feminine version of yourself.
Yeah.
And so, because people go, oh, they feel like a failure if they buy a stock and then suddenly it goes down. And I'm like, why are you buying this? Like, if you're really connected to the fact that this stock, along with others, is literally going to support you in the future. It's like a soldier. I think of like an investment portfolio as like you have your own army, and then each individual stock is a soldier, and you need them to look different. Like, you need your snipers, you need your cooks, you need your people that are on the front line, you need all that. You need a diversification of it all. And you, as the leader, you just need to be the leader of your army. And you don't go into it and go, oh, this one stock is not doing great, therefore it means I don't know how to lead. I think it's really just really about women becoming like stepping into their leadership.
Totally.
More so than it is anything really about the financial world.
I love that reframe. I want to share, you know, as someone, because I exist so outside of the 3D. I mean, I play in this world, and yet I understand it as a game, you know, like a hologram, not really real, but it is real. We need money to do life. I'm curious to get your thoughts on the instability in the economy and how you work with it. I want to share a quick story, just something that changed my life, but hopefully will be an opening. During COVID, I don't know if you know this woman named Elizabeth April. She's a psychic because she's into like all the aliens and all the freaking Galactic Council.
Love it.
And I love it too. And she released a YouTube video right around March of 2020. It went viral. It's what put her on the map. She's like blown up. COVID blew her up. It's besides the point. And she said something in this video that I took it and I ran with it. She said, there is going to be a huge amount of static on this planet for the next few months into the next year. And it's called fear. It's going to sound like this. A station of static called fear. And those that are willing to click the button and change the station into a higher frequency, tune out the fear and hold a higher possibility, listen to a different song, are going to be the ones that manifest a lot of money at this time. And I'm by no means an expert in the market, but I just remember that hit. Like, I am going to listen to my own song. I'm going to believe in something different from me and my business. And my business grew 65% in 2020. And I really come back to that as a consciousness I try to hold through good times and bad, because I hear it, I see it, I'm surrounded by it at times. I said my whole family's in finance. So like, there's a lot of gripping to the 3D reality that I could get absorbed by. But I'm curious to know, you work with so many people, you know, who are paying attention in real time because they've got quite literally money on the line that's impacted by it. How you guide your clients through the instability, because it's been wild, especially lately.
Well, thank you for sharing your story about that. I mean, it's key, because I would imagine that one of the things that allowed you to do that was, instead of being in the fear, you took your attention, because that's really what we're doing. Where do I place my attention? And are we in a position to choose, basically? You chose to put your attention towards where are the opportunities.
Totally.
And then you probably saw something, and then you created from there.
Yeah.
So you didn't create from the fear. You went boop over here and you created from there.
Created from trust.
Okay.
And joy and gratitude.
Yes.
And love.
And then you saw things that other people didn't see.
It's true. I did.
And then it just kept going. And then the momentum of that sort of, you're like, wow, okay. And then you did more and more and more. And that's kind of, it's very similar to the story about the Airbnb with the horses. It just gets bigger and bigger, right? And so I think sometimes we think that it's our, like, if you want to make $1 million, it's our job to make the whole $1 million. No, it's not really. It's your job to position yourself at the beginning. And then it's dynamic. Relook, 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 right? And so you trusted, surrendered. You also had the power behind it. Like, energetically, you brought your power to that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very similar to what's going on now, is that I only see opportunities in the market because I only see opportunities in the market. It has nothing to do with who's the political party or what even the market is doing. There's always an opportunity. And if you look at really, really good investors, they make money all the time. And they don't really do it from taking a lot of risk either. Investors that make a lot of money do it from being able to read between the lines. That's Warren Buffett.
Yeah.
He's always waiting on the sidelines. It's not an accident. He's always moving at the right time. And it's like, it reminds me of, like, you've got a bunch of people in the room and it's like closed doors, and then one door opens and you got a few people that rush in the room. So he's always going to be one of the first few in the room. I feel like I'm one of the first few, and not that I'm comparing it in my own way, right?
Sure.
So really, it's just how do you get people to be sort of closer to that door? Like you say, it's a trust surrender thing, but it's also a let me just make a move here sometimes.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I see this a lot in my community. Like to enter into my world, it's an investment. And I hold my own value in it, but I also hope to be an expander of what's possible for all women to step into to know their value. And yet, you know, it's not always, but often the block, like can't afford it. It's too much of a stretch. Like there's a scarcity mindset, blocks. And I'm always on those, you know, in those conversations, trying to guide them back home to the truth that they're limitless, but that's not always available. What are the, in your perspective, like where are those blocks in women particularly coming from? And how do we help them alchemize those blocks?
To get into their limitless factor.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, I think so much of it comes from conditioning. You know, that's kind of like the big buzzword. And we all have it to a certain degree. I'm going to go kind of on the fringes here because this is this is our relationship. This is what we do, right?
Yeah.
I think a lot of the conditioning around money doesn't even really come from money. Yes, we have our parents who did something a certain way. And yes, you know, a lot of times, you know, you get your savers and you get your spenders and you get your, you know, the people who are just constantly even investing, like they just frantically looking at their investing account, right? It's really not a right way to do it. It's just do something different sometimes, you know, like break the frequency, break the cycle. I think a lot of conditioning comes from, there's a lot of the patriarchy that is in the background with women. And a lot of it even like goes through the realms of sexuality and role playing and all of that. And so you might not think that, you know, I'll just use here in the South, like when I was a kid, the women, they stood up from the table and they cleared, like they went and they got the plates. There was never a man that went and got, you know, the plate, and you just took them to the kitchen and that was just what you did.
Right.
I didn't notice it as a child. I didn't notice it till I moved to California, really. And then I thought back on it. And so while it's not wrong, I think it's, we have to really look at that. We have to stop blaming money. And I don't really think that money is actually what people are afraid of. I think that people are really afraid of meeting who is that version of you that doesn't have all of that conditioning, because like you really haven't met her yet.
Preach, Elizabeth. Thank you for, on the fringe at all. That's in the pocket of what I'm here to hopefully awaken my community to the truth. I think, you know, when I wrote my book, The Light Work, I had to go on this deep excavation journey of research around codes of Egypt, goddess culture, the matriarchy, blew my whole brain open. And it was like, oh, for hundreds of thousands of years, like women led. Women were in their power. Women knew who they were. And then you like look at the 50s and the 60s when, you know, it was the man went to work, the woman stayed at home, had no real authority. And then, you know, by the 80s, we were, you know, entering the corporate world in a more like collective force, but we were still 60, 80 cents to the dollar to every dollar a man made. And it's not about money. It's about a collective consciousness. That data point, which isn't revolutionary, it's everywhere you read about, you know, women in the work world, like we get paid less statistically across the board. And that impacts us in the subtle realms of how we see ourselves.
It does.
Holistically, not yes. Just financially.
Exactly. Exactly. It's all one thing, kind of like we started this with the decategorization of it.
Yes.
You know? And, you know, just tying back, you'd asked me about, you know, have I always been in neutrality with money? honestly, I think one of the reasons that I've always been in neutrality with money is that I did not inherit the conditioning from men as a child, like this whole playing roles thing. And I think it's because when I was a kid, I didn't feel like I was going to be with a man, and I didn't really know if I was going to be with a woman. And so, like, I'll give you an example. A friend of mine, she said that when she gets ready to go to the gym, like what she does is she'll get, you know, her cute little outfit. And she said she realized that the other day she was thinking about, like, what will men think? Or she was almost like she realized she was dressing for men. And I couldn't get this concept. I was like, what do you mean? And then we got further into it. And what we came to realize is that I didn't realize that a lot of women, when they walk in the room, they actually think about, what do people like think of me? Like, they're thinking, do people find me attractive, or blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't have that. Like, I don't think that. I'm not saying I'm better or worse.
It sounds not at all.
There is a neutrality that existed there.
Yes.
That it didn't flow into other areas of my life. And so I don't have the roles sexually. I don't have the roles when I go out in public. I don't have the roles when I dress. I've never gotten dressed and thought, will a woman or a man find me attractive?
Wow.
I just am.
That's a superpower.
I don't know. It's,
it isn't to you, but which makes sense. But to those listening, I mean, to me, that's a gift. It's a real gift. It allows you to, I think it's very quantum, and it makes sense that you have applied that neutrality to your success, because whether it's money, whether it's an opportunity, whether it's a relationship.
Yeah.
I think the game really is non-attachment.
It is. And so I'm thinking that, you know, and you can tell me what you think about this, but to me, it makes sense that, like, people are going out and they're just reinforcing these roles, right? And then they're expecting their life to not have these roles in other area,
yes,
in other areas. But, like, I really think it is the dropping of all of it. Like, it's all just one thing. It's kind of like the whole boat rises then, you know?
Totally. It's like this phrase, like, how you do one thing is how you do everything.
Yes.
Like, I am very messy. I'm very messy. I'm very, you know, for someone, I guess, as successful as I am and not super detail oriented and organized, I somehow have been able to make it all work in organized chaos. But, like, it's a dumb example, but, like, I'll go and hang up my coat in the coat closet, and I'll, like, shut the door, and I'll hear the coat fall.
Oh.
And I'll just be so lazy, and I won't go in and hang it up.
I love it.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you look at, like, my desk. Like, I've got shit in all my drawers. My desktop is a mess. Like, I'm just not one of those. But when you start to look at your life, and all things considered, the chaos works for me to some degree.
Yes.
But when it comes to money, I really do believe it reflects back to you the frequency that you put on it. So what frequency, what energy are you putting into every area of your life aside from it? And can you find the correlations? And if you think that working on your body per se, or how you look perfect when you go to the gym, and the grip that you might have, and the control, and the fear, and the insecurity that might bring up in your body, where else does that show up in your life? And it's because money is not just about numbers in a bank. It's a holistic energy that runs and flows through your entire life experience. And it's very clear that your spiritual investing codes, as I would call them, have that superpower of neutrality based on just the way you've described how you live your life. Would you agree?
Yes.
So when someone comes to work with you, let's say it's a woman who's not comfortable with the financial market, who's interested in, like, getting into stocks for the first time. Where do you start with her? Is it about what stock, or is it something deeper?
I would say, well, never invested before.
Yep, never invested before.
I would say the most important thing is to do it. And I think that, you know, sometimes people, they just make a big deal out of buying stocks, right? And I'm not trying to downplay it, but like, honestly, it's like we go to dinner and we drop $200 and it's like a shitty dinner and we're like, oh, we don't even think anything about it. But then we fret our whole lives about putting $200 on a stock. Like, why? At least you'll have something. Even if it goes down to 150, you'll have something. So I think it is disconnecting from it needing to be about you. Like, buy stocks not from a place of like, okay, the stock went up, let me pat myself on the back. Like, you don't get to do that. And then you don't get to beat yourself up when it went down, because it's not really about that. So what I would tell people to do is just go out, and an ETF is just a basket of stocks. Go out and buy that. Or typically people have just a few companies that, you know, they have heard of or that they like, or that they're sort of like, sometimes, and this is where like the whole intuitive investing thing comes in, is like, sometimes you just continue to hear something. And, you know, if people would just read 3 articles and leave behind the fact that they don't understand every word, like take on a curiosity and go, okay, Amazon, I'm going to read 3 articles on this. It's going to take me 10 minutes of my time, and I'm going to do this from a place of power, and I'm going to be curious. Typically what will happen is you'll see something there. You'll see, oh, Amazon has multiple streams of revenue, or Amazon has this much free cash flow, or something like that. And then what you'll do is you'll start to relate it to, well, that would make sense as a business owner. And then you'll start to be, it's literally like, allow yourself to be drawn in, because you don't get money, you receive money. And when you receive, it's an invite. And so money is not going to invite its way into your life until you start inviting it in. And that's the way that you can do it. And it's really easy to do. Open an investing account. I use E-Trade. I've used Fidelity. I've used Schwab. Don't get fussed up, as they say in the South. Don't get fussed up over the one. Don't go, what's the lowest fee, all that. That's great, but you can switch it. Just like, do the thing, because ultimately I'd say the most important thing is you want to meet the version of you who is on the other side of having bought 10 stocks, and you want to ask her questions. You don't want to ask more questions of the person, the version that you are today.
What questions would you ask her?
The version today?
The version you're reaching toward her.
How do I 10X this? Because this is such a magical feeling. I thought this was going to be so difficult. I've been putting this off for years. It doesn't matter anymore. I've met this version. I now find myself magnetizing conversations about investing. I'm now seeing this a little bit more. It's coming up on Instagram. It's coming up. I'm drawing this into my life. That's all I have to do, is just keep drawing it in, keep going and going. And then in 3 months, you ask yourself more questions. It's magnificent, the person that you will be in a year if you just allow investing in money to come to you.
What stocks, can we get a little tactical and specific?
Yeah.
What companies to invest in right now are the most exciting in your mind?
Well, AI, of course, is leading the front.
Totally. Right?
But that's now fingering into so many different areas. So it's like you're now looking at businesses who are putting money into AI, and then you're looking at AI-specific companies, right? Robotics is probably one of the big areas that, you know, I'm going to be looking at coming up. That's a little bit more of maybe a little bit of a leadway. I'm actually bringing in how to use AI in order to help you with investing. I'm bringing that into the Spiritual Investor coming up here.
So amazing. Wow.
I can't wait. Yeah. So we have a stock list inside the Spiritual Investor, and I'm going to run it through its own custom, just AI profile, and just, you know, teach people how to do that.
That's so exciting.
I would say robotics, is an area coming up. I would say, just even circling back to, like, you know, what's going on right now, the only thing that I'm really looking at right now, the only thing that's changed for me, is that a lot of people have tech-heavy portfolios. They kind of knew that before, but they weren't really inclined to do anything about it because those stocks just kept going up. I would say, you know, keep the ones that you love in there. Again, do the three article thing with them.
Okay.
And then diversify a little bit, you know. I mean, there are really amazing stocks like Berkshire Hathaway. There are just really incredible stocks that, you know, you can just kind of ride all the way up. Consumer discretionary, like I would look at like some different sectors, even energy stocks. There are a lot of energy stocks that pay dividends. And so while the stock price might not be going up, you know, I mean, I have a lot of stocks in my portfolio that I'm getting 9-10% return on. They have gone up, but I'm just like, that's fine. And then I have stocks over here that don't pay a dividend and they're going up. And then I have stocks over here that are maybe not doing much, but if the market drops, then they have more stickiness. So they're buoying the portfolio. So then the portfolio isn't going down at that level because you're not looking for it to be the top, top return. You're looking for it to have a really solid, like a solidarity to it, right? Like where it's not going to look like this. It's going to look like this because that's going to give you confidence because it's really more about how you feel whenever the market does something than it is about what the market's doing.
Boom.
I think
there's your magic, you know. Yeah. How do people work with you?
Thespiritualinvestor.com. That'd be one way. We have it's called the SI Club. So it's $17. I mean,
I know, it's like, brilliant.
Yeah. You just, actually also I talked to my team before. So if your listeners want to just jump in for a month for free.
Amazing. Is there like a code or
yeah,
a word?
We sent a code. So just go in and try it. If nothing else, we have a Get Started Investing series, that you can just kind of bridge the gap with that. We do a stock pick every month.
Amazing.
Talk about money. So it's kind of a...
We got to get that code.
Yeah. So that's kind of a no-brainer.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, definitely. And if you want to work more directly, you know, the Spiritual Investor Mastermind, I love it. I love it. There's a lot of energy in there.
I bet.
Just creation of money. We design your whole portfolio. So it's just really... That's, you know, talk about meeting the version of you at the end, right? Because, you know, I have people investing in there within the third session because it's kind of like, no, you're not going to come here and do all of this and not be investing, right?
Absolutely.
And so, because I want to meet the version of them on the other side because I already know, you know, I see it in them. I see the power in them.
I'm sure you do.
And so to be able to do that. So I would say, you know, that as well. It depends on what you want.
Incredible. Wow. Doing the light work, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
You are.
Thank you.
I have a few final questions for you. They're quick fire. Depending on how you answer them, they can be quickish. Do you have a favorite spiritual teacher?
Eckhart Tolle.
Me too.
Really?
Oh my God. Changed my life.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to see him next weekend, actually.
Where?
In Los Angeles. And I mean, the tickets are just right up front. I did a speaking event in Bali. This was in October of last year. And it was a week of just being just with all these women. And it was just magical. And at the end of it, I thought, I'm going to buy myself a gift. What am I going to do? And it just came to me. I was like, Eckhart Tolle, I've never seen him in person.
Wow.
So I thought, I'm going to be right up front because I'm going to like be in the energy.
Why not?
Of Eckhart Tolle, right?
Absolutely. He's only on the planet for so long.
I know. And he's your favorite too.
I read A New Earth in 2017 and I went through, I could classify it as an existential crisis in the most beautiful way.
Yes.
Broke my whole soul open. And I just, one of the few books I could point to and say that one changed my life.
Yes.
Yeah. It's incredible. Have so much fun. That's an epic.
Thank you. You know, he speaks in the silence, doesn't he?
He sure does.
You speak in the silence.
Oh, you do too. You do too. On that same note, do you have a favorite spiritual book? You say you don't read business books, but do you have a different genre? I lean spiritual, but what's a top book for you?
I think A New Earth, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've read it several times and I just keep going back to it. Like,
same.
I feel like I'm reading a new book every time I read it.
It's coded.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. Do you work with any like specific goddess or archetype or angel? You have like a deity that's good for good luck or blessings, an ancestor, any archetype you work with?
No.
I maybe say your horse.
No, I think so. I think, you know, when I said that just like before I came here, like I have certain songs And whenever I listen to those songs, like usually I'll sit on the floor, like I'll sit on my knees, and I can feel something shifts. Like there's something different that I just feel like in my whole body. It's almost like my body just is space or something. So I don't think it's a specific as much as it is like I very much invite. It feels like a clean conduit type of thing more so than it does like a specific deity or God, you know?
And
I feel like my only job literally like in this whole world is just to keep cleaning up all the bullshit in my life and manage my energy, which I listen to one of your podcasts. You are so great at wellness and managing energy. Like you were on it.
Thank you.
Is just to do that.
Yeah.
And the more I do that, the more the frequency shifts. And the more the frequency shifts, then I meet incredible people like you. And it just, it all works. And it's really, there's really nothing else to do.
I could not agree more. It's so freaking true. And music and vibration and frequency, it's the same resonance as like the presence of like a higher being. Like you can tap in.
You can.
Through those portals.
And it's about being around them. And so listening to your podcast, being around you. Like, and I think we're moving into this world, right? I think the new paradigm is not necessarily like cherry picking our experiences, because the cherry picking of experiences can be based on even conditioning, like, oh, that makes me feel good.
Right.
You know, or something along that nature. When I think that the new paradigm is really about being in the energy of that drawing in, kind of like what I was talking about with the money. And so I think that's why we're moving towards in-person events.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's really what it's about. That is the super powered elixir right now. And you might not even need a lot of it. It really depends on how open you are and how willing to go vertical you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is your integration level? Yeah. Be in the energy and then work on your integration level and then be in the energy. And I think that's why masterminds or all of this stuff is just, it's working.
It's magic.
Yeah.
Do you believe in aliens?
I do.
You do?
Yes. I've seen that. Well, I've seen the whole, you know, the UFO thing in Sedona, actually.
Did you?
Yes.
How amazing was that?
Yeah. It's pretty incredible. Yeah. It's like, once you see it, you're kind of like, I can't unsee that.
Yeah.
You know?
I had someone earlier on the show who was talking about it. They saw the UFOs as well. And he said, it just breaks the ceiling, like the glass ceiling of what you believed you could believe. Opens up your consciousness.
It does.
You're forever changed.
It does. It breaks down the categories.
You're all about that these days.
I am. And I think it's because I'm applying it to my own life. You know, so much of what we're doing ourselves comes out. And I mean, there's really no difference in my business and my life and my, you know, it's kind of all the same thing. And I don't allow myself to be in a box. And sometimes I'm afraid to get out of the box, honestly, Jessica. And when I figure out I'm afraid to get out of the box, you know what I do?
What do you do?
I pull myself out of the box.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I'm now more interested in meeting myself, who's done the thing, than I am on listening to my own bullshit of doing the things.
Put that one on loop. Final question for you. What does it mean to you to be a co-creator of the new earth?
Connection with other people. Like, I feel like we're all equally powerful here. And we're just conduits. And so the translation and the reflection. So, you know, I said, you know, I sit with the song and I feel that power come through, right? Well, then I go out in life and I mess shit up and I break things and all that. And then I come back to the power and then I do it over and over again. And the more in neutrality I am on the whole, then the faster I come back to and the more time I spend in power. It's like all just like a guiding, it's kind of like the bell curve, you know, it's like I spend more time in this area. The decategorization puts everything, it sort of brings it all into this area. But then what happens is that I meet other people. And then there's an exponential effect.
Yep.
Because I can feel the creation. It, to me, I visualize it. It's like a loop. Yeah. And I can feel it. And so it's like, I don't really think about what, like even coming here, I'm like, I don't really think about what I'm going to say because I'm not really co-creating if I've pre-orchestrated what I'm going to say, because that's also dishonoring you, because we're equal. We're just conduits in power. And it's dishonoring because I want to build on what you say. So what I do over here is I just work on my listening, which I think is actually going to be one of our superpowers in the new paradigm, is that people are going to listen. Like they're going to truly, truly, I know you said that like you can't listen to small talk. I can't either, even as a child. But people are really going to start listening because there are answers in the listening that we've been missing for centuries.
Yeah. I love that. And this, you know, I intentionally frame the question, what does it mean to be a co-creator?
Yeah.
Not a creator.
Exactly.
We could call ourselves creators of the new earth. We could technically could be, but it's not how we do it. It's in the co-creation. And the more that we step out into real life connections and find our aligned people and link arms and remember and realize that I call us all queens with crowns and big wings on our backs. And we can fly further and faster when we're in community and co-creating a vision together.
Yes.
That's it's all about.
We're linked, you know, and the people who are linked within the frequency, they're finding each other.
They sure are.
And that's also the most joyful place to be as well.
And that's the whole game. Joy.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
Well, thank you for agreeing to link arms with me today.
Oh, you as well.
And co-create this conversation. I'm so happy that we broke this down. I've never had this type of convo on the podcast yet, and it's meant to be you. Thank you for the work that you do in the world and for your true soul coming through today in this chat. I know my audience is going to learn so much, but I also feel like they're going to be really activated. And that's the game.